All right, in this lesson, we're going to do something really fun and very D&B. We're going to take an old-school snare snap and flip it into a resampled bassline element inside Ableton Live 12. And just to be clear, this is not about making a snare sound like a snare plus a bunch of random effects. The whole point is to turn that short, rude, crunchy transient into something playable, something rollable, something that can live with a res, a sub, breaks, and atmosphere without losing its attitude. That old-school snare snap has a special kind of energy. It's tight, it's sharp, it's got a little dirt in the top, and it punches without needing to be huge. In drum and bass, that kind of character is incredibly useful, because the genre is all about that space between drums and bass. If you can make a snare-derived hit behave like a bassline accent, you suddenly have a sound that can answer a res phrase, drive a roller, or add tension in a breakdown. So let's think like producers for a second. Don't just think, how do I process this sound? Think, what job do I want this sound to do? Maybe it's a transient accent. Maybe it's a ghost percussion line. Maybe it's a tonal stab. Maybe it's a weird little bass answer to the main drop. That mindset matters, because resampling is really about commitment. You print a pass, you hear what it does, and then you move forward instead of endlessly tweaking the source forever. In D&B, that speed usually leads to better grooves. So step one is finding the right snare. You want an old-school style snare with a clear attack, a short body, and a slightly raw top end. It could be from a jungle break, an old-school drum hit, or a layered snare with a nice clap component. The main thing is that the transient is honest. If the front crack disappears, the whole idea falls apart. Load that snare onto its own MIDI track, either in simpler or drum rack. Then create an audio track and set it to resample that source, or route the snare track directly into the audio track input. At this point, keep the source pretty short. If you're using simpler, keep the decay somewhere around 80 to 200 milliseconds, release near 0 to 50 milliseconds, and tune it by ear so the body isn't fighting the bass key. Again, we're not chasing a perfect snare. We're giving ourselves a hit with enough personality to survive the transformation. Now before you start mangling it, print multiple passes. This is one of the best parts of the workflow, because it gives you options later. Record a dry version, then record a high-passed version, then record a driven version, with some saturation or distortion on it. That way you're not locked into one flavor. On the source track, our really simple starting chain is auto-filter with a high-pass somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz, saturator with a few dB of drive and soft clip-on, and maybe a QA to notch any ugly ring if you need to. Then resample each pass to audio. Why do this? Because in D&B, one sound often has to play multiple roles. The dry hit can give you impact. The filtered one can be shaped into a more tonal element. The driven one can give you aggression and mid-range attitude. It's like building a little family of the same sound, and that's incredibly useful when you're arranging. Now grab the best printed version and drop it onto an audio track. Turn warp on, and start with beats mode if you want punchy, transient heavy control. Use transients as the preserve setting if it helps keep the front end crisp. If you want chopped behavior, go with the 1/16 or 1/8 segment length. The goal here is not time stretch chaos. The goal is rhythmic control. If you want a more stretched, tonal result, you can switch to Complex Pro later, but for now let the transient stay sharp. That snap is the whole magic. A snare-derived bass stab that lands just a little early can feel really urgent, really rolled, even if it's technically still on grid. Tiny timing shifts matter a lot in D&B. 5 to 15 milliseconds can be the difference between meh and that's got bite. Once the audio is behaving rhythmically, it's time to turn it into a playable instrument. You can drag the sample into simpler in classic mode, or use slice to new MIDI track if you want a more performance-style chop workflow. For this lesson, simpler is usually the better move, because it gives you more control over pitch and envelope. Set simpler to classic. Use trigger mode if you want each note to act like a new hit, and shape the amp envelope so it stays short and punchy. A good starting point is attack at 0 to 2 milliseconds, decay around 100 to 250 milliseconds, sustain at 0, and release around 20 to 60 milliseconds. If you want little glide moments between notes, enable glide and play around with it. Now play the sample like a bass stab. Don't think of it as a drum anymore. Think of it as a rhythmic mid-range instrument. Try it in a low mid register first, then test it an octave down and an octave up. You're looking for that sweet spot where the transient still reads as a snare crack, but the body starts acting like a musical accent. If it gets too papery when you pitch it down, don't force the sample to carry all the low end. That's where a separate sub comes in. So now we build the relationship, create another MIDI track and put operator or waveatable on it for a clean sub. A sine wave is a great starting point if you want maximum control. Use the snare-derived sample as the attack and mid layer, and let the sub handle the weight. This is where the phrase starts to feel like a real DNB idea. The snare flip layer might hit on offbeats or syncopated 16ths, while the sub leaves space and only comes in when the stab drops out. Don't double the same rhythm forever. Let the parts talk to each other. A simple roller style idea could be something like this. The Reese holds tension, then the snare flip bass answers with two short stabs, then the sub holds under the accent, then the next bar introduces a ghost note or reverse tail as a transition. That call and response vibe is huge in DNB, especially in darker or more minimal arrangements. Now shape the tone with a tight effect chain. A really solid stock chain might be EQ8, saturator, drum bus, auto filter, and utility. Use EQ8 to gently high pass the snare derived layer if the sub is separate. Saturator can add a few dB of drive and some soft clipping to harden the edge. Drum bus can add grit, but keep the drive modest and be careful with boom if it starts fighting your kick and sub. Auto filter is great for movement, especially if you automate the cutoff later. And utility is important for keeping the low end under control, especially if there is any stereo content. Below about 120 Hz, you generally want this type of layer to stay mono or very close to it. If the hit feels too spiky, you can use a compressor with a fast attack and medium release to shave a little transient off. But if you want more bite, let the transient through and clip it slightly instead. For darker DNB, don't over-widen it. This sound should feel centered, firm, and direct. The drama comes from rhythm and texture, not from huge stereo width. Now here's the advanced move. Print the processed instrument again. This second generation resample is often where the sound starts feeling finished. It's no longer just a chain of devices. It becomes a single DNB element with one identity. Record the processed output to a new audio track. Then cut the best one bar or two bar phrase, consolidate it, and only rewarp it if you really need to. At this stage, you can start doing audio editing tricks like reversing one hit for a transition, duplicating a transient for a fill, fading the tail into a reverb send, or slicing the phrase into smaller chunks for variation. This is especially powerful in darker DNB because it gives you that printed, committed feel. It sounds like part of the record, not just a live synth line. From there, automation is what makes it feel like an arrangement instead of just a loop. Open the auto filter over 4 or 8 bars. Push the saturator drive into the drop. Send a little reverb only on the last hit of a phrase. Throw delay on the final stab before a turnaround. Keep it musical. Don't automate for the sake of movement. Automate because the sound is telling the listener that something is changing. A really strong arrangement idea is this. In the intro, use a filtered snare bass texture under atmospheres and break edits. In the build, automate the filter open while the snare snap becomes more present. In the drop, bring in the dry, punchy version. And in the second drop, use a more degraded resample with extra distortion and tighter note spacing. That's the whole game. The sound evolves with the song. A few common mistakes to watch for. Don't make the sample too sub-heavy. Let the dedicated sub do their job. Don't overwarp and smear the transient. Beat mode is your friend for punchy hits. Don't overdo stereo width. Keep the bass-derived layer focused. Don't ignore pitch relationship. If the snare body has a tone, let it sit nicely with the track key, or strip it down and use just the crack. And don't try to force the snare sample to do all the bass work. In DNB, roll separation is everything. If you want to go deeper, there are some great variations you can try. One is using a pitch envelope in simpler so the note dips downward very fast at the start. That can make the hit feel like it slams harder. Another is velocity mapping, where different MIDI velocities change filter cutoff or sample start, so repeated hits feel like different versions of the same idea. You can also split the sound into two printed layers, one for the attack, one for the body. Process them separately. Attack gets high pass and clip. Body gets saturation and maybe a narrow band focus. That kind of split can sound really professional. You can also try reverse stub accents, where you reverse only the tail of certain notes and tuck them before the hit. That creates a sucking motion that works beautifully in turnaround bars. Or shift one or two notes a little late or early to create microrhythm displacement against the kick. Tiny offsets often sound more intentional than huge pattern changes. And if you really want to build a useful toolkit, print the same phrase in multiple pitch centers and save them as a mini library. That way you have instant options for different sections without redesigning anything. Here's a great 15-minute practice exercise. Find or program one old school style snare. Resample three passes, dry, high passed, and saturated. Put the best one into simpler and build a two bar MIDI phrase. Create a separate subtrack and operator and write a rhythm that leaves space for the snare flip. Add EQ 8, saturator, and auto filter on the snare derived layer. Resample the processed phrase to audio. Then make one variation, like reversing one hit, automating a filter sweep into the last bar, or moving one note to create a call and response feel. Then solo the bass and drums together and ask yourself three things. Does the snare derived layer add attitude? Is the sub still clean? And does the groove feel like a DNB phrase, not just a sample experiment? If yes, print it and keep it. That's a usable drop idea.